Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us today the terminal manager of the Hastings Bus Company, Mr. Terry Johnson. Great to see you.
Great to be here.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm interested in learning about busing. You take it for granted that now that school has started and we see all these buses all over town in the country, crossing paths, I'm shocked at how it all works. And it works well, I'm here to tell you.
Well, thank you for saying that. Once we get through the first week of school, it does settle down and it does work well.
When school starts, you have to have all your ducks in a row. But leading up to that, what is the process that summer holds?
I'm not sure if it's a well-oiled machine, but we're at the point where we've done it so many times, I don't worry about it like I used to. It's going to happen. It's going to start.
Is it like Christmas? It comes whether you're ready?
Yes, it comes, it goes. If we have mistakes or things aren't right, we fix it. And the faster you fix it, the better off you're going to be. The last thing I've learned is to let things drag into the second week and not have it fixed. So if we have overload issues, we're doing load counts first 3-4 days of school, trying to figure out which buses are overloaded. You think you have it, and then we have a rainy Friday or something, and all the sports are canceled for the middle school, and all of a sudden you're going, where'd all those kids come from? So there are challenges throughout the year with certain issues, but we make it work.
So when you first started with the bus company, can you tell us what you did for them?
I drove bus. I remember I had some little bit of training and took a road test, and the next day I believe school started. I did special ed in the morning, one child up to Egan, and then in the afternoon I got handed a route copy that I had never seen before with 3 routes starting at the middle school. I still tell this story that when I was done, I was down on County Road 46 and I looked up towards the country club and I thought, what did I just do? I had unloaded 3 different groups of kids from 3 or 4 different schools, and I don't know if I could have remembered one face out of the whole group. It just happened so fast, it was over. Things just progressed after that. I started training drivers about 2 years later. Slowly started doing stuff around there besides training, and all of a sudden one day got told, I guess you'd run into place, so you might as well keep doing it.
Well, you know, don't you think that gives you street cred because you came up through the system?
Yeah, I think I learned everything from scratch. We learned a lot of things over the years. Driver qualification files, drug testing, all that stuff. We had it, but it wasn't done the way it wasn't right sometimes. We learned a lot in a hurry, and right now it is perfect all the time.
Did you ride the school bus when you were young?
Yeah, we rode the school bus. It was one of George Marshall's buses back in the days. I remember buses being very cold, fiberglass seats, no padding really. Go around a corner and people were laying in the aisle all the time, it seemed like.
And that wasn't just Mr. Marshall's driving.
No, it was just everything. There was a different world.
He was my bus driver, and then we graduated to Margarita.
Yeah.
Yes.
And had both just super people.
Wonderful people. I remember I'd get on the bus every morning, and I'd say, good morning, Mr. Marshall. And you know what he'd say to me? What's so good about it? And then I'd always sit right behind the bus driver because you know nothing bad's going to happen there. Is that still the case?
I always tell parents if it's probably a good place to put their kids because not much is going to happen there. Never one to want to follow too many rules. I spent most of my bus riding career in the front up by the driver to the point where about the last year I rode the bus, I got on, I looked at him, he looked at me, and I just sat down behind him. I said, it isn't going to work anyway, so why bother?
Oh, you mean you would have preferred to sit in the back? Were you a hooligan?
Oh, yeah. We had fun in the back.
Can I tell you a secret? So did Dan Massman, apparently, that he was a back-of-the-bus kind of person.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I think sometimes it really helped me when I did drive a bus because I'd look in the mirror and I'd look at this kid and say, don't even think about it. And he'd say, what? And I'd say, I know you're up to something. You're going to do something, oh. So don't bother.
So I know that Mr. Collins, the superintendent, really looks to you a lot of times, and I mean you personally, Terry, for should there be school, should there not be school. How does that whole process work?
Well, it starts with a talk the night before, usually the day before,
if
around
it looks
noon.
Like bad weather.
Bad weather's coming, so we visit. And usually the last thing I'll say is, well, keep your phone on because I'll be calling, which means I get up about 2:33 in the morning, depending upon what type of weather it is. If it's, they're talking ice or rain, I know which places I have to go. Believe it or not, if it's just blowing snow, I got to check out Vermilion out towards Coates. That's where the roads are going to be the worst. If it's snow and going to have a little rain, then I go to the Etter area because of the hills. But I make the call to him usually about 4:30 in the morning for touch base, and then he starts his process.
So do you physically get out of bed and go to these places and test out the roads?
Yeah, I physically get out of bed about 2:33 in the morning and start my day. Sometimes I just come back and say, don't worry about it, we'll make it, we're going to go. And we've come to a point where if we can't get up some hills, we have the parents bring their kids to the bottom of the hills in the Etter area and just keep on going.
So what is the toughest area for buses in the district?
There again, it goes back to what type of weather we're having. If it's icy, the hills in the Welch and out Furlong area, out 55 can be bad. But if it's blowing snow, there's nothing worse than west, northwest of Vermilion. They can fill in a hurry and just not be good. I found trees over the roads. I've been stopped by the sheriff at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, wondering, what are you doing driving around? We just do it and make the phone calls.
So you talked about the load on your buses. That is head count of kids. What does an average bus hold? How many kids?
Well, we're looking for the 55 to 60 in the secondary, and we can go as high as 70, low 70s on the elementary, depending upon what size bus. I just gave numbers for a classic 77 passenger bus. You can get into trouble, like I said, the Fridays, where you have an elementary kid or fourth grader who brings home 10 kids because it's his birthday, and all of a sudden it's here we go.
So are most of your buses at capacity like that?
Yeah, some of them are a little more. Some of them might be a little less. We monitored it, like I said, at the beginning of the year, and we haven't had an issue since. I might do load counts one more time here in the next couple of weeks and just see what happens. We can always see a spike in kids when the middle school sports gets over. Seems like the high school, it is what it is. They ride from day one or they don't ride. But the middle school can go up and down with the sports. They'll be fuller, and then winter sports start, down they go again.
But then what can you do to offset that?
If I find one bus is overfilled or should get some kids off of it, and I find another one coming into town, we'll move that bus into the in-town neighborhoods and just grab. Almost every bus we have that goes into country, I shouldn't say almost everyone, probably half of them come into town and pick up kids also. And then they leave in the afternoon, they pick up kids, drop off the kids in town first, and head to the country.
So tell us how many buses you have or how many routes you have.
Right now, we're running 25 secondary big buses in the morning and afternoon and about 25, 24 special needs buses. That's, some can be cars and vans there also.
And so those buses all go in the morning and the afternoon?
Yep, morning and afternoon. All in district on the big buses, and probably half the special ed buses go out of district.
What are the parameters now to make you eligible for busing?
The district set the policy at walk zone, they call it, for high school. High school and middle school kids can walk 1.75 miles to get to a bus stop or to school.
And is that as the crow flies?
That's a good question. The GPS in our program will tell us by the street
if
how far away. So it is by the street. Some of it has to do a little bit with bad crossings. The corner of Vermilion Street and 47, we don't expect anybody to walk across to walk to school because of the danger of that intersection. So elementary, they can walk 0.75 miles, which we have a lot of other districts out there where kids are at 2 miles. Parents complain sometimes they don't think it's fair or it's too far to walk or there's not a sidewalk. I don't know. I don't get into that anymore. It's been so long since they've been set, and every year can be a new bunch of complaints. This year it seemed like a lot of people did complain about the 1.75 miles for the elementary or for the secondary. The last few years we haven't really heard anyone say anything about it, but this year it spiked up again. It's been the same the whole time Mr. Collins has been here. I want to say 10 to 12 years. He kind of came in and had to redo everything because of lack of funds at the time. So we also have a very unique district compared to the Rosemounts and the Farmingtons, almost all of them in the cities. We are 19 miles long and 16 miles wide in some places. It's a lot of miles to cover, which makes it hard. That's why a lot of these buses coming into town are grabbing 25 kids in town. We only have so much time. They want the routes to be done in hour and 5 minutes. And when you got to go all the way to Hampton, we are at one point probably 3 miles from Cannon Falls, and these are our kids. They are in-district kids. We have to pick them up, and it's a long ways back, so we're grabbing some on the way out and get to the furthest point and making our way back.
And do most of your buses turn around then and do that whole thing again with elementary school kids?
After we rezoned everything about 5 years ago and brought the Pinecrest kids in with the secondary kids, we now have 5 elementary routes for McAuliffe and 5 for Kennedy, and I believe only 2 of them for each school go out into the country. The rest are all in-town kids. And that's what we tried to achieve by bringing South Washington County in with the secondary and the Hampton. We felt we should get further kids away from the school, as many as we could, into Pinecrest at the time to fill the buses up to make it so we weren't putting on as many miles, which in return makes it cheaper for the school district.
What is the earliest that the buses are start your engines?
I have people leaving the bus company at 6:20 in the morning to get started.
And where do they head? The farthest distance, I would assume?
Yep, farthest distance, northern South Washington County, up by Afton State Park up in there, Hampton, Meesville Trail down south of Meesville.
And so those kids get on the bus when?
Probably right around 6:40, 6:35, the first ones, and then they should be at the high school, hopefully in that 7:25 range, 7:30 at the latest. And we want to get down to the middle school to let the middle school kids get off by 7:40. And we actually have the Pinecrest kids on, too. So, yeah, high school starts first, so we go to the high school, and then we go down to the middle school and let them off. And if we're a little early, we have to hold the Pinecrest kids until 7:40. I tell parents all the time, wait till the beginning of the second week. The time is going to be set. What happens to us is we go out in the country with buses, and this 11th grader doesn't ride, but we have to go check out 3-4 days to make sure they're not going to ride, or this child doesn't ride. It takes a good week to figure out who's going to ride, who doesn't ride, and all of a sudden we get into town and we're hearing complaints, well, you're early. Well, okay, we are early, but this is probably where it's going to be until it snows, so just have them ready to go.
So what can we do as parents to help you and help your bus drivers?
The biggest thing for us is have your address changes in, have your daycare slips turned in at least a month before school starts. The last 3 days, week before school starts, just it turns into 10, 12 hours a day of nonstop changes, and we have to then get the changes to the driver if it really affects their route. We send the cards out 3.5 weeks before school starts, and if we get somebody who waits until the very end to say, I moved, and now a bus has to go 2 miles out of its way. Well, 2 miles and a turnaround and a stop can be 10 minutes. It can
mess
influence
everything
and mess up the whole entire route.
So how often do you relook at that?
We get data from the school. We've done this now the last couple years, and we check every child in Hastings for a home address with what we have versus what the school has. We go through and try to check all the routes out at least once or twice. When we move kids from 8th to 9th, 4th to 5th, the computer doesn't want to put them sometimes where they should be. So I have to sit there and literally sometimes go through the 9th grade and the 5th grade by hand. And it takes time, but I get it. After a while, I know these routes so well. It's just like I can look at it and go, that's right, that's right, that's right.
And how do you decide what bus driver goes on what route? Do they get a say in this?
Here in Hastings, a lot of these drivers have been here year after year after year. Some of these guys have been here for 30, 32 years. They want the same route, the same group of kids. They're hauling kids. They haul the moms and dads of these children. And if you can get that locked in like that, it's so good for the parents, because the parents don't worry about their kids.
That's
they
right.
Remember how the driver was, it's just a comfort zone for everybody.
And I'm going to give a shout out to the bus driver that our kids have, Jerry Canoel. The very first week of school, very first time my son ever rode the bus, he knew who he was. And I asked my son, for sure, it's not because you did something naughty. And he said, no. So I'm going with that story. But that's pretty cool that bus drivers take such an interest in the kids that they are moving around. And I know you're always looking for bus drivers.
Yeah, it's a never, kind of a never-ending process. If anyone out there is looking for a part-time job, we are looking for people all the time. It's a great job if you only want to work 10 hours a week. If you can get up in the morning, we're looking for AM drivers, PM drivers. We can help you with the written test. You have to get a physical. We have a lot of people who come in there and they're going to get a job and they go, I want that cute little bus out there. But I think after they get through with their training, because everyone is trained in a 77-passenger bus, most people would probably want the big bus. For me, it's a more secure feeling driving a big bus. You have better vision, you sit up higher, that type of stuff. It takes a special person, I do believe this, to do the special ed. These are some unbelievable caring people that day after day do the special ed, because it's a whole different world than.
So if people are interested in perhaps pursuing a position with the Hastings Bus Company, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, we can do an application online. I would prefer you come to the bus company at 425 31st Street East, which is right behind the Armory off at 316, and fill out an app and just sit down and talk to me and we can visit. I'd love to sit and talk to people before they even fill out the app. I can explain what we do, how we do it, that type of stuff, what we expect, and what you can expect in return.
Wonderful. Great to see you. Thanks for all you do. I still think it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together upside down, how you make all these routes work. Crazy. Our guest today, Hastings Bus Company Terminal Manager, Terry Johnson, and we want to thank him and his bus drivers for all the good that they do. And if you see a bus on the road, be sure you're mindful of little cuties coming off of it and be mindful of the stop sign and any of the other safety precautions that we need to be taking. And you're listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings. Things.